This is the son of PCJ.
This is London. This is London.
The Voice of Russia World Service.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
This is the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland, with a relay transmission via Bonaire in the Netherlands Antilles, directed to New Zealand.
This is Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
Bonjour à vous si vous nous rejoignez sur Radio France Internationale. Il est 5h à Paris.
This is Radio Ukraine International.
This is the English program of Radio Deutsche Welle, Germany's international broadcasting service.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie and Keith Perron.
Hello everyone and welcome. It's very nice to have you with us once again. Coming up on the program today, well, I should warn you first, and this is not meant to be anything naughty, but I will be inviting you to take a shower with me. Now, don't get too excited. We're going to be talking about a new shower radio, a radio that does not need any batteries, but rather uses the power from the water in the shower. We also have an update on a story we recently aired about the woes facing Australia Network. Well, it's been solved, and the ABC will continue to operate the channel. We have this and much more, so stay tuned. Media Network Plus, take us wherever you want, including the bathroom. First, here's Paulette with a look at some of the headlines from the world of communications.
A new television news channel in Malaysia, Worldview Broadcasting Channel, expected to launch officially in April next year, has been airing test transmissions in the Klang Valley since December 1st. The test transmission from 7 to 10 p.m. can be viewed by tuning to UHF Channel 39, with magazine programs as well as local and foreign documentaries on air. A statement from the station said that its core content would be news with 70% international news coverage. The rest will comprise a range of current affairs programs and documentaries. WBC local viewers will be able to watch live news reports from various locations around the world, presented from a Malaysian perspective in three languages, Bahasa Malaysia, English, and Arabic, it said. The statement also said that WBC's approach to vary its news sources via cooperation with selected news and current affairs television stations worldwide will offer viewers a fresh experience in news watching. Parts of Australia Network and Radio Australia will be merged along the lines of the BBC, said Australian Broadcasting Corporation Managing Director Mark Scott, a day after control and funding of the overseas television service was handed over permanently to the public broadcaster. Mr. Scott said the ABC was no longer compelled to separate Australia Network and Radio Australia after the Cabinet decision on Monday to hand the 10-year contract worth $223 million to the ABC. "We've been offering Radio Australia for 70 years, and what this decision now allows us to do is to bring these two very closely together to basically create a seamless international broadcasting arm for Australia in much the same way that the BBC does it for the UK," said Mr. Scott in an interview on ABC News 24. We'll have that interview coming up on today's program. People across the Middle East region have increasingly turned to the BBC Arabic service during the Arab uprising, with a record rise in audiences, according to independent research recently published. Overall audiences to the BBC's Arabic services have risen by more than 50% to a record high of 33.4 million adults weekly, up from 21.6 million before the Arab Spring. The weekly audience estimates are based on an independent study carried out by the IARP, the International Audience Research Program of the BBC's Broadcasting Board of Governors. BBC Arabic TV's audience has risen by more than 80%, from 13.5 million to 24.4 million. The IARP survey covered Egypt, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Lebanon, and Morocco. The weekly reach across these countries has nearly doubled, from 9.8% to 18.4%. The biggest increases were seen in Egypt, where the BBC Arabic TV audience quadrupled to a weekly reach of 16.2%, reaching 9.3 million people. In turbulent times, the BBC's aim to provide trusted news and impartial information is more valued than ever across the Middle East and North Africa, said Lillian Lander, controller of languages at BBC Global News. These impressive figures show that international audiences are increasingly turning to the BBC for independent news that they can trust, she remarked. In an increasingly competitive TV market, it demonstrates that there will always be space for high-quality journalism that seeks to inform all, even-handedly, she added. Special thanks to Andy Sennett at the Radio Netherlands Worldwide Media Network blog for the material used here today. For more reports from Andy, check out his blog, http://blogs.rnw.nl/media network. You can also find the link at our website, www.pcjmedia.com.
And you're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio. First, an update on a story we recently had. Australia Network, which was in the process of looking for who would run the service, either Sky or the ABC, has been decided. But this was a drama that saw the process shake up some members within the Australian government. And many people asking the question, why would the Foreign Office even consider handing over Australia's 24-hour TV channel to a private company? That would be like handing the BBC World Service to a private media group. The ABC's managing director, Mark Scott, welcomed the announcement that Australia Network will continue to be managed by the ABC. He told Joe O'Brien that the National Broadcaster Service will now become easier for international audiences to find in a crowded global market.
A long and complex process. We've been waiting for a long time for it to be resolved. It's been a long wait for our staff, but we're happy with the outcome. Others will judge and critique the process. Our challenge now is to think through what does it mean to offer this service in the time ahead.
A News Limited columnist this morning was saying it was pretty strange for this to be put out to tender in the first place. Were you surprised when it was?
Well, we argued that it didn't need to be put out to tender. The ABC had done a good job, and around the world, public broadcasters deliver this service. You know, we don't outsource our embassies, we don't outsource our defence forces, we shouldn't outsource our public diplomacy. So we'd made that argument. A decision was made to put it to tender. As we've seen, that's been a long and a difficult process, but now it's been resolved.
Just one final question on the tender process. Your conduct during this process was brought into question by Minister Martin Ferguson, who said it was inappropriate that you had contacted him in relation to this. In future, you obviously do all you can for the ABC, that's part of your job, within reason. Would you go to a minister outside the specific area in relation to a process again?
I'd simply say, Joe, on this, that I talk with cabinet ministers and people in Canberra on both sides of the House all the time about the ABC, the ABC's performance and our plans and ambitions for it. I think there was nothing in our behaviour around this process that we have any questions about, and we're relaxed with how we went about putting our case.
OK, now looking to the future, how is the service going to change in coming years?
Yeah, well, under the previous arrangement, we've had to keep quite separate and quite discreet our international television service, Australia Network, our international radio service, Radio Australia. We've been offering Radio Australia for 70 years. And what this decision now allows us to do is to bring these two very closely together to basically create a seamless international broadcasting arm for Australia in much the same way that the BBC does it for the UK.
From the announcement overnight, it sounds like this is permanent, but is there anything really, really permanent terms of politics?
Well, of course. But what the government has said, that this will now be a core responsibility of the ABC, and we need to deliver this core responsibility the way we deliver ABC One and Radio National and Triple J. We're going to view it that way, a core part of our operations. It's going to be properly resourced. It's going to be a strategic priority. And we'll report on our performance over time to the board, to the government, to Senate estimates, to the Australian public.
That was the managing director of the ABC, Mark Scott, speaking with Joe O'Brien. Joining us right now is Vivian Blick from Tango Group in the United Kingdom. Why are we talking to Vivian? Well, for those of you who enjoy singing in the shower, there's a way to do it now so you don't feel so alone. You can sing along with your favorite songs on the radio. Now, some of you are saying, wait a minute, shower radios, that's not unusual, but it is when, guess what? You don't have to worry about batteries. The radio will turn on when the water comes on, and that's it. That's all it is. Well, Vivian is with, like I said, Tango Group. Now, Vivian, before we talk about the H2O radio, I do want to put a little bit of background on this because you have been involved in alternative energy type receivers before, like the Free Play from Trevor Bayliss.
Yeah, that's right, Keith. Back in 1997, I basically started working with Trevor and the Free Play Energy Company. And we launched the world's first clockwork, as it was called then, and it's now more popularly called wind-up radio, which became a phenomenal success right across the world. And something that we aimed, I guess, initially for developing countries, ended up being as popular in the US and Australia and the UK as it did in Africa.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the last few years, we've seen a corporation out of the United States called Eaton that has come out with a whole line of wind-up radios. There's also some from China, some being sold under the Grundig name. When you see that, you know, years after you came out with the clockwork one, which is different from the ones now, because the ones now have a battery that stores the energy, you must look and go, wow, amazing how we've come so far.
It is interesting. I mean, Trevor's original idea for clockwork radio was, I guess, simple and to a degree crude, but no one else thought about it really before. Or if they had, they certainly not put it into a commercial situation. And what people like Eaton are doing today and Power Plus and all the other leading brands in wind-up, basically taking Trevor's idea to the next stage of technology, make it smaller, make it lighter, make it more efficient, make it more portable. And it's just you know, that technology just one step at a time improving to the point now you're going to buy a radio, so why not buy one that you can wind up or one that's got a solar panel built in, as well as one that you can recharge anyway.
I still have one of the original Free Play radios that I bought when it first came out, and it's still working now, and it still provides great reception. It's a little bit bigger than some of the newer ones on the market, but it's a technology that works. Now, let's get on to this, you know, singing in the shower. Shower radios, of course, are nothing new, but there was always the problem with the batteries, and you've come up with an idea that is, if I can use the term, tapping into energy that already exists in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly right, Keith. You know, we're always looking at ideas to say, okay, basically, how can we get some free energy? How can I get something for nothing or something from waste? So if you look at what solar panels are doing, you're getting sort of free energy, if you like, because it's coming from the sun. Or if you look at wind-up, you're getting, okay, it's not free energy, you've got to fuel your body, but it's not costing you anything out of your pocket. And the same with the shower-powered radio. So what we did there was to look at ways of using energy that's there anyway. And if you look at the shower radio, what you're doing, you're already paying for the water that's going through the shower, which ends up going down your drain. And what we're doing, we're tapping into that along the way and saying, okay, let's use that energy. We bought it, we paid for it from the utility company. It's sort of ours to do what we want with, and we're going to take a shower. But by the way, we can also get that water to drive a small turbine, which will create electricity, which will run a small radio in the shower. In fact, actually, it's not so small in terms of sound either, which is quite good. And so you end up having a radio in the shower with a system that never needs a battery to be replaced, so you never ever run out of music or news programs, and it's going to last you pretty well a lifetime.
You know, let me tell you how I'm using mine, because I have a small low-powered FM transmitter at home that I have music coming off my iPod, and that's how I'm using it in the bathroom.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's a smart way to do it, sure. Yeah, that's clever. Yeah.
Now, before you came out with this, because you recently just launched it, what kind of development and research and how long did it take to get it from the drawing paper to the production line to the shops?
Okay, that process in total is probably around 18 months from, let us say, well, first of all, you're probably looking at a two-year process in terms of, first of all, thinking of ways to just go through a mind process, a daydreaming process, if you like, you know, complete blue sky thinking. And then you sort of whittle out what is the impossible and what is maybe just about possible. And the next stage is you start sketching and jotting down ideas. And that whole process is perhaps a six-month process. Eventually, you pick up the tools and the soldering iron, and you go to the bench and you create a Frankenstein-type prototype, which I did, and literally using a garden hose pipe into the shed through a window, and that was my power source for energy, the water flowing through the garden hose pipe, to prove the concept. And sure enough, proved the concept. We could run a radio, just a standard radio, which actually was a wind-up radio that we just connected all the mechanism from, and build a turbine to drive it. And we knew we had an idea. And then from then on, it's really working with the engineers in the Far East to develop the tooling, to make it miniature, to make it cost-effective, to make it energy efficient, to make it fit pretty well most showers around the world. And that whole process is really another 18 months. So if you like, from the idea to having the launch with the first one on sale, is about a two-year process in total.
Now, the radio itself is very small, and it's just one thing. Now, there are some people out there that are saying, oh, this is just a little gadget, but you have to actually look at the bigger picture of what and where you can get energy from.
Well, that's true. I mean, you could say this radio is quite frivolous. Nobody needs a radio in the shower. Nobody does. But saying that, nobody needs a radio, period. Nobody needs a TV set either. But we are used to that. We're used to getting information anywhere we are. So this radio solves a problem in that if you have a radio in the shower, which in particularly in Europe, they're incredibly popular, you do end up having batteries that run flat. You don't change them because you're in the shower, so you're not going to hop out and go to the local supermarket buy new batteries. So you end up forgetting about it. The batteries corrode. The whole device gets thrown away after, you know, 6 months or a year. So this solves that problem. But as you say, the idea is also to think about what else can you do. Okay, so if we take it one step further, let's think about every time you flush your toilet, every time you take a bath, you use the washing machine, the dishwasher. They're all using water on demand, and every time that water flows to an appliance, it's possible it could flow through a turbine and we could use that energy to create electricity.
Do you see a time, because a lot of people are talking, of course, there's cars that are running on fusion and everything, do you see a time when, for example, water from the bathroom or the washing machine or from doing the dishes can be stored into a tank that through fusion can be used to produce energy at home? Do you see that time coming?
I think to be honest, I'd like to say yes, but the reality is I think we're quite a long way away from that yet. But what we are doing is getting people's minds to open up. Because we've been, as consumers, as users, whatever, we've been narrowly focused in terms of, well, we can plug it in, we can put batteries into it, whatever. Well, that's, you know, sooner or later, we're going to run out of oil to create the energy that we need to run those turbines to power everything in a house. And if you look at how many appliances you plug into the typical household today compared to, say, just 20 years ago, let alone 40 years ago, and we're just growing, you know, we've got sockets, you know, every meter around most properties now. So it's got to come a point where we just won't be able to plug everything else in. We've got to start thinking a little bit more alternatively about how we use power and how we create it. I wish we could create enough energy from, you know, these simple ideas, but I think we're quite a way away from that at this time. But hopefully we're stimulating the thought process that we may see that leap forward from, you know, some of the eminent scientists in the world today.
So it sounds like your hope is that somebody out there will get this radio, see it, and come up with an even better idea.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's a fantastic way to go. What we've done is not difficult. It's not complicated. but nobody else has done it before. Not unlike what Trevor did sort of 15 years ago. What Trevor did was not clever, was not complicated, but it had not been done before. And when people saw it, and they said, oh, that's clever, I could have done that. But the point is always, nobody does. And the same will be true on the next stage of technology. It will be, I could have done that, but it takes someone to actually think through that openly and with an open mind and say, well, I will do it. And then things can really start to move. But we're still quite narrowly focused at this time.
Let's get back to the radio for a moment. There are some people I know right now are saying to themselves, okay, I finished my shower, I then turn the water off, I'm going to brush my teeth and quaff my hair and do whatever else they have to do. The radio turns off. Does it?
Well, no, because what it does, we are quite frugal people in terms of there's more energy flowing through your shower than you actually need to run the radio. So what we do two things. First of all, we run the radio, but secondly, we harvest any excess energy and we store that in a small rechargeable green-style battery. So that when you finish the shower, you turn off the faucet, you turn off the tap, basically you can carry on listening to the radio for a while afterwards because you've created or you've stored more energy than you actually need just for listening to the radio in the shower. Now, how long you listen to depends on how long you're in the shower, how high the volume was, and how quick your water flow rate was. So it's not exactly, I can't give you an exact answer, but typically the average user will get, for every sort of 5 minutes of showering, they get another minute or so that they can listen to the radio outside of the running, without running water.
Let's talk about some of the other products that you have, because I was checking out your company's website. You have some absolutely fantastic things. You even have an alarm that you connect to your shower, showing you how long your shower is. That's quite special.
Yeah, that's a new product, which is just funny. I'm just leaving the factory now. We had a few delays on some of the technicals on that once we got it miniaturized. Again, using a micro turbine, this just goes in line with a shower head. And again, when you turn on the water, drives a micro turbine with a small electronic circuit inside that basically times you while the water is flowing. Gives a nice green, glowing green light, a ring of light around the unit, which basically for the first 4 minutes is green. After 4 minutes, it starts to glow blue. If you're in the shower for more than 8 minutes, it goes to red, which basically say, look, you've been in the shower here now 8 minutes, and you need to sort of think about turning the taps off here, save some water, save some energy. If you stay in the shower for longer than 12 minutes, it will actually start flashing red. And that's sort of, that's really telling you, you really outstayed your welcome now, and you're hurting the planet as well as your own pocket. Because one thing people don't realize at the moment is, okay, water is still quite cheap at the moment, but with climate change, that may well change. But besides that, the cost to heat the water in a shower, people aren't really looking at those costs at the moment. But as rising fuel prices for energy carry on rising, the cost of a shower, as an example, or heating water, will become quite important. So the amount of time we spend in the shower will become a factor of a measurement in most households as we go forward over the next couple of years.
One thing that I found unique about this, and I've had this discussion with people, and they say, some people will say, and I've heard this, oh, I'm only taking a 6 minute shower. Oh, maybe today I'll only take an 8 minute shower. But that's you. But if you take, say, 5,000 people or more, a couple of million people, that's a lot of water.
Well, that's a good point, Keith, because if you imagine most showers, most modern showers are running at something like, roughly, around about 10 litres per minute, or let's say roughly two sterling gallons per minute, 10 litres per minute. Well, that's a huge amount of water. You're in there for 5 minutes. That's 50 litres. You multiply that by everyone on the planet, that's a huge amount of water we're going through. And just 1 minute less has a huge impact. Not for one person, but if everyone thinks the same way, then that has a major impact.
I was discussing with a friend of mine the other day, because I have a large amount of radios at home. And first of all, it's my profession, and I just love all types of radios. And he said to me one time, he said, God, when I go over to your house, the only place I can have relief from radios is the bathroom. And I said to him, think again.
That's good news.
Vivian, thank you very much for taking some time out to talk to us today. I've already have an idea of what I'm going to get for some stocking stuffers this year. If you want more information on it, stay tuned. We'll give out the web link later where you can get more information as well as some retailers around the world that you can order the radio. Vivian, thank you very much.
Thank you, Keith.
And if you would like more information how you can get hold of one of those radios as a great stocking stuffer for the holiday season, just go to www.waterpowerradio.com. That's www.waterpowerradio.com. You're listening to Media Network Plus, and it's now time for Dan Hensley to look at propagation over the next few days.
The 10.7 centimeter flux on December 10th will be 160. December 11th through December 14th will be 155. December 15th, 160. December 16th, 165. The A index on December 10th will be 5. December 11th, 8. From December 12th through December 16th, the A index will be 5. The KP index on December 10th will be 2. The KP index on December 11th will be 4. The KP index from December 12th through December 16th will be 2. Sunspots 1362, 63, 64, 65, 66, and 67 are in view this week. No coronal holes on the Earth-facing side of the Sun at the time of this forecast. Chance for solar flares is minimal, and the Sun's X-ray output has been zero from December 7th to December 8th, 2011. If this keeps up, we may have quiet conditions on the HF and shortwave bands for the Christmas holiday. Back to you, Keith.
Thank you very much, Dan. And guess what? We are now out of time. If you wish to contact us with your complaints, suggestions, or even story ideas, our email address is very simple. mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also listen to this program again or download past editions by going to our website, pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. That's pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. And when you're on the Media Network Plus page, you'll find a whole list of stations that you can listen to us on, either shortwave, satellite, or on terrestrial FM and AM. Next week on the program, we're going to be telling you a little bit about what we have coming up during the holiday season. We have two special shows on December 24th and December 31st. What's going to be happening then? You'll have to tune in next week to find out. So, on behalf of Paulette McCrory, Dan Hensley, this is Keith Perron saying so long, take care. We'll see you next week. 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies.